Have you ever gone on a job interview and you want to ask the interviewer, what am I doing here? Yeah, I know what your company does and I know what the job is and I know what my qualifications are, but what am I doing here? Why did God send me here? This happened to me a few months ago, about March. I got a job interview to teach high school in an urban school, teaching English to 11th and 12th graders. So I'm sitting there in this interview, but I never taught high school before. I've always taught college. And I assume that high school was a very different situation than college was. So I wanted to ask the interviewer, why am I here? I feel completely out of place. I think God wants me here, but why? Well, this summer we started some training, and I got a little confirmation that I think I'm in the right place because other people were telling similar stories. One lady said she was in corporate America, and all of a sudden God started whispering to her, I want you to teach. And she's like, I'm not a teacher. What are you talking about? And somebody else said that they got a phone call just out of the blue. They were going to take a year off of teaching, and they got a phone call out of the blue to be a principal in this system. And a third person said, well, I kind of had some inklings that I should be doing this kind of work, and there was a promotion, and I should go for it, but I wasn't really sure. But my friends all confirmed that I had the gifts, those spiritual gifts and the professional gifts that Marlene was talking about to the kids, that she had those spiritual gifts confirmed to her by her friends. So all of this is a way of saying that, well, we get an inkling of what God wants us to do, and we're not really sure that we're on the right track all the time, but there's little signs and there's people along the way to give us little encouragements. So today's passage is all about trust. And this is going to be part of this series that Rich has been doing all summer long, which is on wisdom from Proverbs. As you can see on the top, my sermon is titled Opposites Attract, Trust and Perseverance. This is part one, trust. Proverbs 3, 5 to 12. I had to make a tough decision. Should I cover it all in one day and go way long, or should I break it up into two little pieces? I figured you'd probably appreciate it if I broke it into two little pieces instead. So today's part one, trust. Next week is perseverance, part two, and then Rich will be back with his series after that. So part one, trust. If you can see this, there's a little boy on a ladder and a father waiting for him to fall backwards, and the father will catch him. I don't know about you, but when I first saw this, I thought, there is no way that I would go on the top of that ladder and let myself flop backwards. But it looks like the little boy is willing to do that. So I started thinking, well, what is the definition of trust? Obviously, you can use this as an analogy for God waiting to catch us. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability of someone or something. So if somebody tells you that they're going to do something time and again and they do it, they're reliable. And trust is a firm belief in the truth. So you believe that when they say, I'm going to do this, that they're not lying to you, and God doesn't lie to us. In ability, the father looks like he's got good manual dexterity. He can catch things. So this is like God in that he has the ability to catch us and lead us on. Or strength. Obviously, God is ultimately strong, and the father looks like he's strong enough to catch the little boy also. So that's what trust is. You can kind of keep this picture in mind as we go through. I'm going to give you some building blocks today and also some benefits of trust. And again, from the Book of Wisdom, what makes it so wonderful is that many of these things we already know. But we just need reminders because sometimes life just weighs us down and we need to remember, trust in Jesus and things go well. Building block of trust. Number one, learn to be still. Notice that I have some asterisks next to this one. If you remember nothing else from today's message, remember this one. Learn to be still. In perseverance, you got to keep going forward, forward, forward. But in trust, you just have to be still. And sometimes, being still is the hardest thing to do. Be still and know that I am God, from Psalm 46:10, is a good example of how God tells us, take it easy, just be still, listen to my voice. About 30 years ago, I had a born-again experience, and I was working at the time for Keebler Company. On the radio, Chuck Swindoll was on the radio, and it just happened that I would be able to listen to him in between stops when I called on grocery stores. And Chuck Swindoll always talked about how when he was a young Christian, he was very impatient. He wanted to do things right now. And he realized as he was older, looking back, that was the wrong thing to do. He needed to learn to just trust God, to just do nothing at times. You've also, I'm just going to rapidly run through some of these. The next one, you've all heard this saying probably. You probably may not know where it's from. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. That's from Alexander Pope from 1711. Sometimes we just need to be cautious. Sometimes the best, most courageous thing is not to rush in and try to take care of things. Sometimes we just need to stop. Last week, Rich gave you a whole bunch of passages in his Way of Wisdom summer sermon series. And I realized that when I reference Rich's passages, we have a double entendre, that it's a rich passage. It's from Rich, our pastor. But it's also a rich, deep, interesting, insightful passage from God. So a rich passage has a lot going for it. Last week, I don't know if you remember it, but he was running through his passages, and he mentioned Proverbs 3:5, but he wasn't able to get into depth with it. So that's going to be my springboard for today. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So here we have a building block of trust. Next building block, be all in. Proverbs, and I'm just going to go through what we just read, a little bit at a time. Proverbs 3:5, the first part of it. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart, with all your heart. Here I think of an alloy in metals. And an alloy is a metal made by combining two or more metallic elements, especially to give greater strength or resistance to corrosion. In other words, alloys are usually a good thing. Because you take those gifts, going back to the children's sermon again, you take things that you don't have and you combine it with something else to make the whole unit stronger. But I was thinking with God, you don't need to add anything else because God is perfect in every way. So if you add anything to God, it just takes away from the quality of God. This comes in religion with avoid syncretism. Syncretism is the idea that, oh, I'm just going to pick and choose. I'm going to pick this little element of this religion and that little element of that religion. I'm just going to mix it all together. And it'll be better, right? Because it has all these different things from all these different places. And I would argue, well, no, it's not better. Because what you've done is taken the Yahweh, the God of the universe, and you've tried to add things to God. And that just diminishes who God is and the resource that we have. A building block. I realize I have a bunch of building blocks early on in this sermon. Another building block of trust. Don't be limited by your intelligence. From our passage today, do not rely on your own insights, and also do not be wise in your own eyes. I think what the writer of Proverbs is saying is that, yeah, you should use your intelligence because it's a gift from God. But don't over-depend on it. That intelligence and reasoning is just one of many gifts. Why limit ourselves to just rationality? We have intuition, and we've got God's voice speaking to us during our prayers. The same idea is brought out by Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I think of Micah 6, 8 when it says, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord your God. With our rationality, it's wonderful. I love teaching complex texts in my English classes. But at the same time, I know that it's only going to take us so far, that in order to understand the universe and life, and just a little smidget of understanding, we need more than just rationality and intelligence. And this is borne out by Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. The next building block of trust: seeing Christ in every event and detail. Proverbs 3, 6a from today: in all your ways acknowledge Him, in every little detail. I'm going to give you a Latin word. It's mundanus, and it means belonging to the world. If you go down to New Orleans, there's a Café du Monde, I believe, and that's a cafe of the world. Don't make the mistake that I made, though, once, in which I was having a conversation with my wife in the morning, and I made the mistake of having a little bit of knowledge, and it got me in a lot of trouble. I said, in the morning conversations, I don't want us to just talk about mundane details. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, we should talk about scriptural passages and insights and so on. Because I have a little bit of knowledge of, oh, mundane details are details of everyday life. What did she hear? What? You think our life is boring? Are these mundane details? So a little bit of knowledge can get me in trouble sometimes. Building block of trust, seeing Christ in every event indeed. So my point here is what? God tells us to pray constantly. How do we do that? By observing the details as we go through the day and seeing God in every little detail. And that's really good. It's really easy when things are going well, but it's really hard when things are going bad. It's like, God, why is this happening? So we need to try to see God in every detail, whether it's spiritual or mundane, taking care of little things. Well, I gave you a bunch of building blocks of trust. Now, the passage that we just read is going to give us some benefits also. One of the things is that you can find or follow your calling, again, from the passage, and He will make straight your paths. I love that passage from Ephesians 2:10. It talks about how we are saved by grace. And then afterwards, Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are His workmanship, created unto good works, which He has before ordained that we should walk therein. This is really great because it tells us God already has a plan for each of our lives. And by trusting in God, we can understand, at least begin to understand what that plan is. It's already there. I just have to listen and be open. So you see the connection between mundane, everyday details and following God's plan for your life. Here's another benefit of trust: the pause that refreshes. Life is hectic and we get all stressed out. But Proverbs 3:8 says, it will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Let go and let God, we say. Just take it easy, relax. That thing that you're stressing out over, that I'm stressing out over, probably is not as big of a deal as I'm making it out to be. Let go and let God. That's a nice anti-anxiety medication. You hear about so many people taking anti-anxiety medications. Well, this is a really cheap, inexpensive, and just completely effective anti-anxiety medication. Everybody try that. Just go. Thanks, God. I'm relaxed. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. I'm still. I want to hear from you. Next up, building block of trust, tithing. This passage, without probably realizing it, it has a lot of stuff crammed in it. Proverbs 3-9, a building block of trust, tithing. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord Yahweh with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. So we encourage each other to take a step of faith to trust. Oh, I'll give a little bit more to the church. I'll give a little bit more to charity. I'll give a little bit more to this person in need. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet, but God will provide. A benefit of giving, and oh, you probably all heard the story about my mother, that she's the type to give, and then she gets blessed, and then she's got to give more, which only gives her more and more blessings. So you cannot leave her house without getting, you know, a package, an armful of stuff. Benefit of trust is material blessings, according to Proverbs 3:10. If you give generously with a joyous heart, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. It's not that we're going to become bazillionaires, but God provides our needs. We give, God gives us back. Malachi 3:10 talks about this again. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test. I don't know about you, but when I hear I'm supposed to put God to the test, I get a little nervous. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Many of you are reading your way through the Bible this year. Some are doing it in a year. Some are doing it in 2 years. But what's nice about that is that you run across passages that support each other. And this would be one of those about tithing and the promises God promises over and over and over again if we trust Him that He will bless us. Oops. Some examples here, back to Chuck Swindoll, pastor. He says, when you put God to the test, and test is really just an experiment. Oh, I'm going to experiment with God. And Chuck Swindoll says, be specific. Yeah, we all have our general prayers. We want world peace. But you know what? You want to test God? Give Him something really specific that you are praying for. Think of Gideon in the Bible when he uses a fleece and the dew that collects at night to test whether he was in fact the chosen one of God to lead the Israelites against their enemy. This last week in my new job, I got all kinds of things to learn. And one of the things that I learned was, oh, we go out canvassing just to let people know that our high school is in the area. Even though it's been there for a while, a lot of people don't realize it. And we hand out those cards that Jenny was talking to you about. We hand those out just to let people know, oh, this is who we are. We're Hope High School and we're over on Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. Well, I started teaching on Monday. And on Tuesday, I kept teaching, but it was hard. Monday was hard. And Tuesday was more hard. And have you ever said, well, it can't get any worse? And then you realize it can always get worse. So I taught on Wednesday, and it was about the same as Tuesday, maybe a little worse. And I was tired. I was just tired. I wanted to go to church. And I said, Lord, I'm supposed to go canvassing tomorrow, and I got lesson plans to do, and I'm tired. I don't think I can do it. I run marathons, and I don't think I can do this. So I said, oh, well, I'm working on this sermon. God, I'm going to ask my principal if I can be exempt from canvassing tomorrow. And God,
I need you to do something for me because I'm at the end of my rope. We have enough freshmen. We have enough sophomores. Seniors are fine, but we're really low on juniors. God, could you send 2 juniors to enroll in our school tomorrow? I'm thinking, boy, Trixondal would be proud of me, but we'll see what happens. So I go to school on Thursday. The principal says, you know what, we're doing really well with our enrollments. You don't have to go. Nobody has to go out campusing. And in the afternoon, as I was getting ready to leave, I talked to the operations manager, and I said, oh, by the way, did you get 2 juniors to sign up today? And she just kind of responded like, oh, this was kind of general knowledge. And then she realized, oh, so you didn't know anything about this. I said, well, no, I went to church last night and prayed because I'm at the end of my rope that we need 2 juniors to show up. And she said, well, we processed 1, and we're walking down the hallway, and the doorbell that just rang, that's the 2nd person to sign up, the 2nd junior. And I'm like, whoa. Now, I don't understand prayer. I know we're supposed to do it, and I don't know all the interactions between God's sovereignty and my prayers, but boy, that was really an encouragement. So I got a little snippet to let me know, wow, I think I'm in the right track. I think I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm just trusting God that I am. And that was a nice little sign along the way. And I'm sure all of you had those moments. I go, whoa, God, this is really, really awesome. The next one. A building block. Oops, I went too far. Building block of trust. Accepting correction. Proverbs, we're almost to the end now. Proverbs 3:11-12. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves the one he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Chuck Swindoll, again, I listen to him a lot. Chuck Swindoll always said, God is more concerned with our character than with our condition. In other words, we are, as members of the kingdom of God, he's more concerned about our character and who we are and how we fit into that picture of the church and are using our gifts. He's concerned about building us up and sanctifying us and helping us grow spiritually and as a body of Christ. He will take care of our material needs, not necessarily our wants, but God is more concerned with our character than with our material condition. So it's been a long day of teaching, long week. It's been a long week of teaching. So my conclusion is here. A building block and a benefit of trust all in one. Accepting correction leads to peace with God. God works through the circumstances of our lives, even using failure as defined by the world. How many of you have failed at something? I know I've been a big time failure at certain things that I really wanted. I worked hard, I did everything I could, and I still failed. And in hindsight now, I see that God has used those things that I failed at to bring me to where he wants me to be. And I'm still learning. God works through the circumstances of our lives, even using failure as defined by the world, to get our attention, to draw us closer to him, and to make us better people so we may enjoy the peace, the shalom, only he can provide. So I've given you some things to chew on today about trust. Come back next week. We'll do the flip side of the opposite attracting. Today, trust. Next week, perseverance. I hope I kept this fairly short. I was going to time myself to make sure I didn't go too long. How am I doing? Pretty good. I got a thumbs up from Jenny. Let us pray. Everybody bow your head. Lord Jesus, may we learn to trust in you with all our hearts and not lean upon our own understandings. Help us to always acknowledge you in even the smallest details of our lives, so that by being so focused on you, we will be able to see the plans that you have for each of us to follow. Help us to use our intelligence, yet not become fooled into thinking that our intellect and reasoning is all we need. Help us to pause, be still, and let go, thereby gaining the peace of mind from knowing that you have us in the palm of your hand. Amen.